may be sort of gone, but President Trump is still a topic on Late Night. As put by Stephen Colbert, we've still got a few loose ends from the last administration we've got to clear up, like inciting a murderous mob to attack the Congress and overthrow democracy. James Corden said 100 senators were sworn in as jurors for Donald Trump's upcoming impeachment trial, which starts on February 8th. The trial is to determine if the attack on the Capitol by thousands of people wearing flags that said Trump and hats that Trump is the fault of, get this, Trump. Colbert said, now to get a conviction, the House is going to have to convince 17 Republican senators that the former president incited the riot, even though they were all hustled out through secret tunnels to keep them from being murdered by the president's own bloodthirsty fascist squad of goons. They're on the fence. Kimmel, this is the tough on crime party. This is the party that investigated Benghazi for over 2 years. We still don't know what Benghazi is. This is the man who still hasn't admitted he lost the election. Move on. It's been almost a week. We got to move on from this. Jimmy Fallon said, speaking of the former president, sources in touch with Trump have said he's, quote, bored out of his mind. Well, he was already out of his mind, so I guess now he's just bored. Fallon, apparently playing 36 holes of golf every day, isn't as exciting when you're not ignoring a global pandemic. Fallon, but today Trump's aides were trying to cheer him up. They were like, good news, sir. Your trial starts in 2 weeks. Those were three great jokes from Fallon there. Colbert, according to a source familiar with the situation, Mar-a-Lago has become a sad and dispirited place since the ex-president moved in, as opposed to before he moved in, when it was hailed as the number one luxury COVID hotspot where you can enjoy room temperature chowder while a Chinese spy loads malware onto your phone. Colbert, with the ex-president back, the mood has gotten so dark that a lot of people have quit Mar-a-Lago. For Pete's sake, he's been there for 6 days. Imagine what a Donnie Downer he must be for people to already throw in the towel. And Jimmy Kimmel's show celebrated 18 years on the air, and Jimmy said, truth be told, 18 years ago, we were on live after the Super Bowl, and our guests were George Clooney, Snoop Dogg, and Coldplay. Tonight, I'm doing a show for 20 reluctant staff members, and my guest is my cousin. Jimmy Fallon has announced the Tonight Show Film Festival. All you have to do is submit a short film, no more than a minute long. These are very short, Jimmy. The show will pick 10 semi-finalists to make a second short film, providing them with a brand new sponsored phone to make the film. Fallon said, we have a theme for the festival. It's a different focus. I think this past year has taught us all to look at life in a different way, to look at different things and just how we think about the world. And for the festival finalists, we just want to see what a different focus means to you. You could submit your videos for the Tonight Show Film Festival at their Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, or by commenting on the Facebook page. Make sure you tag at Fallon Tonight with the hashtags hashtag Tonight Show Film Fest and hashtag contest. Really, if I leave off hashtag contest, I'm not in? Whatever. Variety told us all about Young Rock, that is NBC's new sitcom about Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It starts in the year 2032 when The Rock is planning a presidential run. The showrunner says, we're going to be following candidate Johnson on his 2032 presidential campaign for the course of season one. So we're going to be at different press events from him, and Randall Park is the interviewer who's going to try and get some insight into who Dwayne the man is. Following him on the campaign tour is what's going to carry us through the 2032 timeline. Politics will not be at the center of the show. Young Rock tells Johnson's story in four time periods: the aforementioned near future, his elementary school years, his high school years, and his college football days. When developing the show, The Rock said, let's not take the easy route. We use these terms wild and crazy, and those are great sizzle words for what we used to promote this thing, but it was incredibly complicated, and it was incredibly tough growing up. We specifically went with these timelines in my life that were very defining times. My dad was kicked out of the house at 13, and he was homeless, so that shaped the man who then raised me. And in that complication, then came an extraordinary life that was full of travel. I lived in 13 different states by the time I was 13 years old. The show is an opportunity for The Rock to appreciate some very special people from the world of professional wrestling around whom Johnson grew up. The Rock says, we have the Iron Sheik from Iran. We have Andre the Giant from France. We have the Junkyard Dog. We have my dad. We have the Wild Samoans from someone. And those are the ones that we showcased in the pilot. I think the responsibility that we have, as well as the inspiration of the show, is just to be authentic and making sure everything felt real. We reached out to all of our wrestlers, and for the ones who were no longer here with us, we reached out to their families and made sure that they knew they were going to be portrayed in a positive way. Young Rock premieres February 16th, 8 o'clock on NBC. That sounds pretty cool. EW caught up with Keegan-Michael Key. Daily listeners to this show know I love a Keegan-Michael Key. His 10-part Audible podcast, The History of Sketch Comedy, is out today. He gives credit to his wife-slash-business partner, Ellie. She not only suggested that Key put his extensive comedic knowledge to work in an audio series as Entertainment Weekly, she came up with the unique format. She said, you could perform the scenes, so the show becomes part history, part performance. So I do every character in the podcast from Monty Python to Chappelle's Show. Key says, I've been a student of sketch comedy for a very, very long time. It's been part of my life and a part of my profession. I like to study. I always enjoyed school. There's just been kind of a historic interest about sketch comedy for quite some time. My business partner was like, you have an extensive knowledge of sketch comedy. Why don't we do an Audible series or something? Is that what the person said? The person said, why don't we do an Audible series or something? I don't know. That sounds like a stretch. Maybe, hey, why don't we do a podcast? And then they shipped it around. Audible wrote a check. That'd be my guess. I digress. My business partner is my wife, Ellie Key, and it was her idea. Honey, why don't we do an Audible series or something? It was an absolute blast to be able to do the performance aspect of it while also teaching things about the history. There are places in the middle of the sketches where I'll stop the sketch and go, now here's why this is so comedically brilliant, or here's why I really enjoyed this piece. That sounds really cool. I want to check that out. There's a lot more from Entertainment Weekly and Keegan-Michael Key. Maybe I'll do that on the weekend because I got a lot I want to tell you about today, including from The Hollywood Reporter. Patton Oswalt will host the 2021 Sundance Film Festival, largely being held virtually. The award ceremony will be live streamed on February 2nd and will feature special appearances from, among other people, Alison Brie. Always easy on the eyes. I may have to tune in. Patton Oswalt, Sundance, February 2nd. You'll watch. From the Laugh Button, hey, remember the golden age of the DVD commentary tracks? Yeah, is that over? I didn't realize that was over. The Laugh Button tells us, for a certain generation of film lovers, yeah, hi, that's me, this was a form of film school. You got to hear how some of your favorite films were made. Yes, I know how the DVD commentary tracks worked, straight from those who made them. And yes, they're still around. Oh, good. But with less people buying physical media these days, they're not as prominent as they once were. But now Hulu has found a way to bring it to the streaming generation. Palm Springs. That's that Andy Samberg movie that I liked a lot. It's getting a full-blown commentary track. Samberg told Variety, as far as I know, we're the first. We realize that Palm Springs will always be on Hulu, which is great, but there are elements of the DVD experience that don't exist anymore. They were very amenable in talking about ways to get some fun stuff in there. That's a good time. That movie's a lot of fun. If you haven't watched Palm Springs, you should watch Palm Springs. I got a lot of leftovers again. Let's do this one. I like to talk about important things. This is from The Guardian. A Muslim comedian in India has been detained for more than 3 weeks for allegedly insulting Hindu gods during a stand-up routine that he did not perform. Don't gloss over that last thing there. That he did not perform. Fellow comedians, lawyers, and opposition politicians have spoken out against the detention of Munawar Fariki, who was accused of making indecent and vulgar remarks about Hinduism and government figures during a comedy show on January 1st, despite police admitting they have no evidence, and witnesses and video footage confirming Fariki did not get a chance to perform that night. The comedian remains in jail, having twice been denied bail by the courts. He was supposed to have a third bail hearing this week. I have not heard how that turned out. His lawyer says there is no material, nothing at all, which backs up the allegations. The entire case has been registered just to gain political mileage. Some history here. After some criticism online, he apologized for a video in which he made a joke about a Hindu god. And in December, he had a show canceled when a mob turned up at the venue demanding it be shut down. On New Year's Day, he was booked to perform at a small cafe. Before he could begin, he was interrupted by a group led by the head of a local Hindu nationalist group and the son of a local politician. Video footage shows the head of the local Hindu nationalist group accosting Fariki on stage and accusing him of making derogatory remarks about Hindu deities and demanding that Fariki not be allowed to perform. Fariki can be heard defending himself, saying his only intention is to create laughter, not hurt, and that he has never insulted Hinduism or any religion, and requesting that the head of the local Hindu nationalist group watch a show so he can judge for himself. The police superintendent said it doesn't really matter if Fariki made the comments or not because there was still intent. Vishesh Arora runs 25 comedy venues across India and was Fariki's tour manager. Arora said comedians are worried about making any political jokes now because this is what happens. Comedian Verdas tweeted, "The system is not just telling comedians what they can joke about, it's also telling you what you can laugh at." Their main target isn't our pen, it's your throat. Wow, that is your daily comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. If you like what I do, you can support the show for like $5 at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. You click on that, I get a couple bucks. I go to Dunkin' in the morning and I get one of these. This is an iced coffee with a skim milk and caramel. That will be my go-to until the usually the spring flavors come along, and then I'll mix it up. I'm trying to remember what the spring flavors at Dunkin' are. I was doing gingerbread down the stretch, and that follows, you know, 2 months of pumpkin around October. I'm trying to remember what they bust out in the spring. I'll let you know. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedy. See you tomorrow.